Yes, sir.
Okay, at this point, I'll serve as acting chair in the absence of our legitimate chair, and I'll call the meeting to order. This is a regular meeting of the South Whidbey Fire and EMS Board of Commissioners for today, Thursday, March 12, 2026. At this point, is there a motion to approve the agenda that we have been presented?
So moved.
There's a motion, and I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. At this point, don't see any public. Do we have anybody online? At this point, no public input. Going to item four, the consent agenda. These matters have been presented to the board previously and can be approved in a single motion. Is there a motion to approve the percentage agenda? And don't mind me,
I move we approve the consent
thank
agenda as
you, thank
presented.
you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Not opposed. It's approved. We go to item five, the old business. There is none at this point. Going to item six on the new business. First item is a resolution 2026, the surplus property of our Marine 3 fire vessel. Now, Chief.
So this is a resolution to surplus Marine 3, which is the fire vessel we're replacing with the newly ordered safe boat. This will be a bit of a process to actually surplus it. We'll have to go through the bidding and everything up, put it out to bid to ensure we can get the fairest deal we can for it. But this is the first step to officially put this up for surplus.
I am in favor of this resolution.
You are. Well, I think there's no more questions of you, Chief. I'll entertain a motion to approve Resolution 2026-04 to the surplus Marine 3 vessel.
I motion to approve this resolution.
And I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Motion carries. Now we have item two under the new business, the first reading of the mobilization policy. Chief?
So this is a policy to pair with the MOU that we had previously passed and the interlocal agreement that we had for mobilization with the state. It's a policy to support our wildland and actually all hazard mobilization policy, as we found out that it can be for other things like floods. This has gone past the labor group as well, and we have worked with Peter Lund, who's our wildland coordinator, and Kameno Fire provided us with the basis for this policy. So again, this will be the first reading to adopt it, and then we would bring it back next month if no other issues come up. One thing I will be looking to do in the second reading is likely we'll change the numbers. Otherwise, we read through it quite a bit, but the numbering will work with our policy, but it's not quite perfect because it jumps 50 policy numbers or something like that.
Numbers, the numbers within this document track correctly.
Exactly. It's called 369.1. Well, it might make a lot more sense to call it policy 320, just as far as where it fits in. Other than that, I would open it up for any questions or.
Have a clarifying question, which is simply that this is simply to ensure that we have it in writing that we deploy to not just fires, but to other hazards. That's what the purpose of this is.
Well, this is actually to cover. We didn't have a policy for wildland. Out, we had some policy, but this is very specific to it.
Okay.
Yep. So what we had previously was not very specific or detailed. And so initially we wrote this out as a wildland deployment, but we have adjusted it to be all hazard after the flood deployment that we had. But it just puts a lot more sort of structure around the deployments. They can have their own risks. So first of all, we want a clear policy for how people sign up for mobilizations, how they get selected, what qualifies them to be able to go out on a deployment. Then the next thing we want to do is have clear rules of how they're activated and how things will happen while they're on deployment, who's in charge, how well they behave, essentially. We're sending crews out into the wild and a rig on their own, so.
I didn't have a chance to read this as thoroughly as I would have liked, but I am noticing that, excuse me, it seems it's a little redundant on while on deployment, the third bullet from the bottom, so it'd be the first one on the above 369.54, and then it's also listed as the third one from the bottom below 36953. So we might need to just do a little copy editing to make sure those redundancies aren't there.
Okay, makes sense.
I mean, unless we need to say that twice.
You're talking about 369.5.4.
It's section 5.3. Crews will not have any sexual relations while on deployment, and then it also says it on the next page. It's strictly prohibited.
Oh, got it. Yeah, there's a
So.
redundancy. We want to make very sure
That's
any
fair.
issues there.
But seeing as it's in there twice, I probably want to, I'm going to read it more thoroughly for the next one.
So, Chief, a lot of this is about wildland, but we have something called earthquakes. Is that covered under this all hazards?
Yeah, so the State Patrol has a program for mobilization of state resources for any type of a hazard. So it circumvents some of the red tape. And then if we have this interlocal agreement, which we do now with state, then we can call for resources and it's pretty fast track to get them coming and vice versa. If anybody has any kind of major disaster, hey, we need more resources within the state, we can use this system.
Does this cover any kind of disaster?
Yes.
I'm thinking with the insanity that's going on around, potential somebody could make a mistake and the Vanguard subbase, or Everett, Homeport, or somebody that maybe, and who knows what else, and if somebody to take advantage of our preoccupation and want to do a clean strike, in theory, be able to use the mobilization for that. Well,
Right.
we're in perilous times right now, and that we need to. So basically, any and all situations that will be a disaster, this covers.
Right.
So at this point, it's the first reading, no action needs to be taken, or do you need a motion to approve first reading?
Nope, we don't need a motion to approve. This will be the first reading, and then if you have anything that comes up, in the meantime, we've already got one thing pointed out, then let me know and we can make adjustment.
But as far as that, you're going to make sure the number sequence is correct, and on that, we should be good to go next month.
I believe so, yep.
Item 3 under new business is Chief's report. Chief?
So, Chief's report for March. First one is total monthly call volume is pretty much flat so far this year. It's very early, obviously. It was up slightly for 25. February call volume for the month is lower, but that's because there's less days. took me a little bit to figure it. I kept going, why are these numbers so low for February? I must be missing calls. Oh, wait a minute.
Actually, 3 days.
Yeah, and it was from January. For the seat cover staffing and volunteer engagement, of course, as we know, we have four people all the time now. Fifth, sixth seat coverage were down for February because we sent folks off to the fire academy. So we have three people off at academy right now. Excuse me, four people off at academy, including the lieutenant. So that we're going to see those numbers down until that academy's over. The MERV staffing was up for January and for again for February, as we have some people participating again that had maxed out at the end of the year. So we're having pretty good participation in there.
Chief, point of clarification, you say people maxed out for calendar year 2025. What does that mean?
So you can only receive stipend reimbursement for a certain amount of points or a certain amount of money each year, just based on state law, so they don't become a employee, and then we gotta do a lot of other things. So you can still participate and come to stuff, but we can't give you stipends. So.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to say if you're not going to get your stuff, then you're probably not going to
It happens. Yeah, it happens. It increases. We have no new volunteers ready for approval for this month. We have five applications that are in process. We have so far this year the report from just got the report back from Vicky, says no volunteer resignations officially for 26. I know there's a question last time that had to be in the email. I didn't go back through my emails, but that was the report. So if I find something, I'll let you know when that was. But
Well, so 1 month is missing somebody who resigned.
yeah, right. That's potentially, I don't know why that's missing, but I asked today. I said, were any for 26? There's not a shot. I don't have any on record. So unless that was in December or we're missing one. So we'll look into it. Total number of volunteers and participation per quarter, that's still for Q4.
Point of clarification,
Yep.
so in total number of volunteers, I'm seeing a decrease. Any feeling for what's causing that 2 month decrease?
Yeah, I think we're going to see more decrease that we haven't seen yet that we'll see in the near future, probably because the lieutenants are doing a good job of tracking participation, which is something we started last year, is to have the officers start to track participation and make contact with folks when they were not participating. And so we have people who have been outside of policy, but we've been very lenient that we're starting to kind of enforce that.
That's why we're seeing volunteer participation by total number of hours. Showing quite a drop.
Okay, so the number of volunteers is dropping for the reasons I just said. The volunteer participation by quarter had more to do with people being maxed out on their points. We have some volunteers that are extremely active that keep the numbers up, and if they're not turning out, we're not getting many numbers. The other thing is that we are being more strict in onboarding volunteers. We're getting applications. And one thing that I saw is through the course of the last 2 years, we've been really refining our process for onboarding volunteers and how do we test? How do we test consistently? And how do we avoid hiring people that aren't going to work out? Because that's a waste of both of our time. So what I'm seeing is, I'm seeing less applicants reach my desk for an interview because we have a more refined oral board process. So there's people that are making it through the oral board portion And then they're not making it through the, they're ma not making it through that because there's a scoring system for that. And there's also, we're being better about doing the medical and testing prior to people being hired. So what I think we're going to see, hopefully, what my hope is that we have good people that are going to work out long term, and we're going to be adhering to our policies.
Is there any degree of expectation management of people coming forward who want, I guess it sounds like this is what's happening, but people who are like, yeah, I'd like to volunteer. And if they were getting onboarded in the past, somehow the expectation of what it takes to be a volunteer wasn't clear. And now it sounds like we're getting clear on what those expectations are. So,
Yes.
okay, that's good.
So basically, you're shining a very bright light. The pedigree of these people and their background, and through other process to see whether they have the mental and physical abilities to be successful. And they commit, and the district commits, we have a higher chance, higher possibility of that volunteer.
That's correct. And this is in no reflection on anyone or anyone who's going through the process or been through the process, but we have it is there are risks anytime you hire someone that things are not going to work out well, and this is a very this that obviously a firefighter position, this is someone who's going to go into people's houses when they're at their most at risk. They're going to be in high risk scenarios. They're going to be in scenarios that could mentally break someone just by being there. So it's best for everybody if we're making sure those people sort of meet muster on that level. I mean, to have a standard lower than the rest of the staff isn't fair, probably. So
Everybody wins if you're vetted with respected volunteer. Because it's not a, the bottom line is everything that this district does is how do we serve 17,000 or so residents of the district. And speaking as represent one or three representatives, I thought making this process, say, more rigid, more strenuous, such that ones that come on board have capabilities and abilities, everything that's necessary to be successful, cancer, good job.
All right, so the resource report, I believe that's meant to be that we're beginning the surplus process for old tenders and equipment at maintenance. We're working towards finishing the move of maintenance to Station 34, which is meant to be done this month. Chain.
Seemed like originally it was going to be done a while back. Is it just more stuff at the old facility, or how come it's been taking so long?
Well, there's a lot of stuff, and then they're very busy doing maintenance on vehicles, so it's taken a little while. And we got 10 pounds of stuff that we're trying to fit in a 5 pound bag, so we need to surplus things and find storage for them still. We completed the changeover to the new email tenant. Chief Dilley's working on firewall replacements and beginning conversations about an air and light rig. So we have in the budget for this year a unit to replace our truck that carries the air bottles and has a light set up on it and everything. It's pretty old, so we're working to replace that.
Is that something we have the capabilities in the current budget, or are we looking for 27?
Yep, it's budgeted for this year. So, operations, we have three firefighters, Hagen, Licken, and Harvey, that started the Joint Academy starting on 2/23. Lieutenant Kalahiki is also there as a company officer for the academy. They just finished their first review here. today, actually at the same time. They're doing their reviews right now, so looking forward to see how they're doing, but I'm hearing good things.
What do you mean by review?
So each of those recruits gets ongoing reviews, performance reviews, and evaluations. The training tower ribbon, easy for me to say, training tower ribbon cutting ceremony was completed, as you guys know. We had one house fire and another dog rescue in the last month. The hose manual, ladder manual, new probation books are under revision. That's thanks to Chief Burbank's working through that with the crews.
Say they're under revision. That are dated manuals.
To be fair, some of them are new books. Some of those are new manuals, the hose and ladder manual, and the probation book is being revised.
What do you mean by probation?
So whenever we hire a firefighter, the first thing they do is go through academy. And then they're during that probationary period, there's a series of trainings that they'll need to complete, a sort of on the job training. Purgatory, there you go. So that's really good. Those are things that I have wanted and been trying to we've been trying to accomplish for a couple of years now. So Chief Burbank really took the lead on getting those done, and that's going to be, I believe, I feel like a huge asset for the agency because it's going to standardize a lot of the things that we do. It's better for everybody. The crews coming in know, crew members coming in know what to expect. And then the shifts aren't coming on. And why did they load the hose this way when we like to do it a different way? Everybody's doing things the same way. So,
The bottom line is we're creating rules of the road for whether it's previous discussion on volunteer, moving up the volunteers, in this case, have an SOP for everything that we do.
right.
Good.
Yep. Exactly. Training division, they've been focused on healthy in, healthy out, which is cancer prevention training largely. We had a presenter from Washington State Council of Firefighters Cancer Network come and review their program, which focused on exposure protection from carcinogens, keeping our equipment and stations clean, as well as physical, mental health, and wellness. I didn't make those classes, but I think they were pretty good. Everybody's a lot of head shaking. Okay. We worked on hose deployment and how much fire can we put out with a pressurized, this is the French spelling. A lot of people don't speak French here probably, but pressurized water extinguishers. Special operations, that we've been discussing the future of our rope rescue program. We're
It's
looking at,
creative.
yeah. Looking at changing our equipment out and moving to the industry standard possibly by 2027 or 2028. Thinking that's the size of the just 12 millimeter rope or. Oh, okay. So.
Chief, what does this mean for the future of our rope rescue program, our equipment, moving to the industry? How does that benefit your and Susan's B-Lab?
Well, it's keeping their canines safe largely. No, but honestly, it's making a safer, more effective rope rescue program that's faster. So if somebody's stuck, or a lot of times we do go out on animal rescues, which prevents the person from going over the cliff, right? So it's safer for our crews and faster, more effective for the customers.
Good job.
For the Marine program, the intent is to have two members for each shift certified as coxswains on their safe boat by May 1st, and moving the safe boat to Station 36 as the primary Marine response boat. So that's going to be in conjunction with surplusing Marine 3. That's the new safe boat, which is currently a lease boat until ours is completed.
So the term coxswain is, that is a Coast Guard or maritime position. What does that mean to the public?
I'm going to pass this to Sean, since you just happen to be in the room.
Oh, yes, I can see that. There's one through line for all the various conversations we've had. Chief, you're leading the charge to create an SOP for the whole district, whatever we do, deploy, we have a, that's where it rests. There's standards for what we're doing. Everybody knows what to.
Yeah, and that's, I got to give all the credit to the staff because they're really everybody that's got their division. Well, everybody, but everybody's got their division or area that they're working on is just doing phenomenal work to standardize things. All right. So moving on, upcoming events. We have the awards banquet next Friday.
Seemed like it crept on us real fast.
Yeah, I know. It's coming right up. Then we've got FDIC conference. Some of us are heading over to that in April. We got the Leavenworth Firefighter Challenge the day after we get back from that. National Night Out, and I think we have the Hustle for Heroes, but I didn't have the date for that coming up too. Okay. So those are some of the bigger events coming up.
That
any
I have no further announcements.
comments? Awesome.
I was on my way to the walk-in clinic today with my son, and I do not know how that person got that car in that position on Langley Road, but I hope they're okay. That was creative.
Probably, yeah.
I imagined there was something to that
I'm
degree,
gonna say
something to that
something in
effect.
addition to their brain fogged it.
I wondered.
So
Right.
I have a couple of comments. One, I get the local rag who's living in this case is yeah. And of course, my eyes picked up on dog bites hand that freezes. So it was a nice article that Chief Burbank was interviewed or connected with the reporter, and I think it's point well said to expound a little bit. At the end of the article, it says, quote, "While expending manpower to save animals may seem silly to some, Chief Burbank explained that it is best that the fire department conduct the rescues. And the reason being that one animal is kind of fell down to get their puppy off the wall. Everything I do as commissioner, and I think the other commissioners would agree, how do we as a district do what it takes to communicate the value proposition to people? Now, I'm a great believer in keeping our horn when it's deserved, but the purpose of it, we're going to have to come back to the voters at some time or another later. And so everything that we do to get this kind of good press, the jobs, that's what it takes, because there's a certain percentage that might want to dial 911 tomorrow, but they're going to vote against levy. There's a percentage you have, so you have to be able to overcome that innate no vote. So I think you Berman, hats off to you. You were leading charge with that interview. I don't know how you connected with the reporter But this is good press. And this is what we're getting. I'm really pleased to see that. I have a personal point of privilege. About 2 months ago, I started getting what I couldn't tell was something in the upper chest. And I went to the walk-in clinic December 26th. And because it was concerning. I had never had that. My father deceased to congestive heart failure. And I thought, well, I've been in field. You know, I ran track and ran all sorts of places and go down to Maxwell and on the beach and I got in. So long story short, they did the EKG and things were okay. Well, about 2.5, 3 weeks ago, that's what the doc said at that time was, if we have any discomfort, then go away. Don't hesitate. Don't be a hero. Either go to the emergency room or call 911. So on a Tuesday, I dialed up and called this guy because I didn't want him to find out I'm one of his commissioners being shipped up to a hospital. Long story short, again, I saved our EMTs that showed up for and they were extremely professional with the EKG and all that kind of stuff. And I, even though they are here, but the people that would be helped, it makes me feel good to have gone through this. Now that I've got the beta blocker on a temporary basis, everything's stabilized. Need to find out why. And I just wanted to share that to you all, that it makes me proud to be part of an organization of such professionals. That's what it's all about. Dial that last digit, 911, want people to show up. As I campaigned last year, purpose running for the election is to provide best equipment, best training, and the best salary, so that when the troops show up at your doorstep, they're got these people ability to do what's necessary. So I saw that firsthand, and I just want to doff my hat to you all about that. Don't hesitate to ask my thoughts on. And finally, a little bit of humor. I read the paper this morning, and we're talking about the danger of global warming. Well, it says warming temperatures are giving taking penguins a boost. Apparently, with the warming temperatures, a new study of 19,000 penguins, South Antarctic Island, found that their breeding is starting 9 days earlier than 2000, and they treated that. So there is something to that figure. Anyway, enough of my yammering. Steve, we have a mechanism.
Yep.
And
yeah, if that worked for you guys.
Yeah, but I mean, it seems performant. But... Okay, so we'll be back. Don't anybody go.
be stuck around, just like, yeah. Yeah, certainly.
So we are back in session from the executive session to discuss personnel matters. At this point, Chief, the correct motion would be to approve the memorandum of interest.
To approve the staffing MOU with IFF Local 5212.
Okay, there was. I was starting to read something. It stopped because it should be a memo of understanding. There's a space. There'll be a memorandum of understanding by and between South Ridley Fire and EMS and South Ridley Firefighters, IAFF Local Number 5212. It's a staffing memorandum of understanding. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
And I will second that in the absence of the third member of the board. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Good job, Pete, and good job for the local. What's nice to see is both sides, as I like to say, are rowing in the same direction. Both sides have an interest, but ultimately the interest is betterment of the public. That's all of what we're here for. Job well done. And at this point, unless there's more discussion, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let's go home. Great job. I can't say it's a record short meeting, but close to it. It's